All right, let's get this going.
All right, let's do this. Here we go. Going in 10 seconds. Get a swig of anything that you guys need. Here we go. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and of course with me tonight is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there, back this week, is our technical director, Mike Cards.
I am back. I've returned.
Been a bit, man. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yes, I know. I'm so sorry.
For this week's episode, you missed another big important thing. Final Destinations came out, man. Bloodlines, number 6.
That totally slipped my mind until you sent me the video of just recapping all of Final Destination.
Yeah, man. 40X. We saw it in 40X.
Oh, Jesus. You really felt the logs coming at you.
Yeah, man. You felt the blood splatter come out, everything.
Oh, God. When it splattered, did it really just go... Pff?
Yeah, I showed some of the water mist.
I didn't get much of that because mine was broken.
Yeah. You somehow always end up getting like the broken waters. Yours either never shuts off or it just never turns on.
Yes. And what's funny is you guys turned yours off.
Yeah.
But it kept staying on.
Yeah, ours kept staying on. So we were turning ours off. But then anytime it's a big old scene where someone dies, blood splatter, everything, we're still getting splashed.
Do you think that was like the theater's way of saying, oh, hey, you know, it'd be really cool to give it the real Final Destination like feel is like, what if they can't turn off their mist? Or some of them can't even turn it on. Yeah. Think about that.
Surprised they didn't do like food coloring with it.
I don't think they'd be able to get away with that.
No, there's blood stains everywhere.
And people's eyes. Yeah. Everyone just walking out. I think that would have been a lawsuit.
But yeah, man, we finally saw Final Destination Bloodlines, the 6th movie of this franchise to come out, man.
I thought it was 5th.
No,
6.
No, 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you have Final Destination, the first one, okay. 2, 3. And then the 4th one is called The Final Destination.
But it wasn't the final
one. It wasn't the final one because, you know, money got involved and he wanted more. So then you got Final Destination 5, mm-hmm. which was a prequel to all those. And now this one, Bloodlines.
That's right.
Which starts off as a prequel to everything else, but then continues after all the other films as well.
Because the Final Destination 5 is the one where it ends with
the plot twist.
On the plane.
Yeah. You figure out they're going on to Flight 180.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But yeah, this was a good one. I actually like this one.
Yeah, actually. No, this one.
I mean, they, right in the beginning, they rush straight into the story. So it opens up basically going all the way back to 1969. This woman and her date go to this Sky Tower restaurant. And of course, shit starts happening. She knows the signs. And then that's where that traumatic event happens that kicks everything off. Mm-hmm. But then right when she dies, you think she wakes up and then all of a sudden she's going to see the premonition and change everything. But mm-hmm. instead, some other woman wakes up from a dream and you find out that she's the granddaughter of that person having the premonition. So the main character, Stephanie, she never really had her own premonition of like their situation events. Mm-hmm. She got her grandmother's premonition. And then after her grandmother passes, then the death starts kicking off.
So the first question to that one. So she... somehow gets the exact same
these yeah so she's having
her grandmother
a reoccurring nightmare every night. So it's like it's fucking up her school and college. She's gaining lower grades. She's on academic probation because she can't sleep and shit like that. So okay. She's like, I need to get answers, you know. This is the kickstart. But the way they kickstart it, it's just funny because she wakes up from the nightmare. She's like, her roommate's like, this again, you need to stop this, you need to go back and get help. Maybe she'd go back to your family. Yeah, I think this dream I'm having, I think it's my grandma. Well, you should go visit your grandma. And that's literally how it starts. Like,
how the fuck did you deduce that?
Yeah, I know.
How did you think, like, I think I need to see my grandma? That alone already tells me.
No, she doesn't deduce that. Her roommate deduces that for her.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, they really, like, secure moving the plot forward within like 2 minutes
because they're like, fuck it,
let's get to the deaths, man. Come on, we know what people were paying to see.
No, I was about to say, no, that's exactly what we want. We don't want to sit there through a, you know, a 20 minute segment of, you know, going through the emotions and like, no, you know what we're here for.
So already questions is, one, is she so cool with her roommate that she just like trauma dumps with her and her roommate's like,
no, trauma, absolutely.
Or two, her grandma told her a very descriptive.
Well, she never met her grandma.
No.
at a young age or something?
No. So she specifically said, she's like, I never, because that's the whole thing. She's having dreams of her grandma. She never met her. So when she does her discovery investigation on her own and then she pulls up the picture of her grandma, she makes the connection. Like, that's what they do.
Okay.
Like, I'm dreaming of this woman I never saw.
I was about to say, did the grandma just like tell her the events of what happened?
I know,
this
trauma.
Just really descriptive 5-year-old?
No. The entire family is estranged from the grandma itself.
Because, you know, she's crazy and talking about death and she's obsessed with death and all that stuff. Gotcha. So both her children remove herself away.
So she's like the uncle in Paranorman.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, of course, she goes back home for away from college. She meets her family and stuff like that. They're having like this whole get together. And then, of course, she goes see her grandma. And then this is where things actually start kicking up. So the grandma's like, you know, I survived this event. That dream, quote unquote, dream you're having is actually the premonition I had. And I'm going to explain you, you know, death has been trying to get me and everyone involved in that whole Sky Tower event since it all started. So they're basically already telling you like all the other characters from the previous films in some way had been related to someone at that Sky Tower
who incident. Was supposed to die.
Yeah. Which is the funny thing, because it's like, I don't think it's everyone who died in the film franchise. I think they're saying like death was attacking the visionaries, the people who had the visions, because somehow they were blood related to someone from that night.
So basically the main characters.
So basically, to kill 6 people, or sorry, previously with the 5 films, to kill 5 people, you had to kill like 30-something people. And not only that, because those are the other people who survived in death games. With the initial events, like the incidents, like you had to kill hundreds of people just to kill 5 people.
So death was trying to kill up. So he was trying to gain credit. Right, gain just a little bit more.
Like, yeah,
he was trying to cash out on a bet with at least like 20 points up.
Yeah.
So in other words, he was like, "Hey, I do this, and I'll be good to relax for like 3 days instead of going." Okay, we already talked
about. Yeah, so we've already talked about how petty death is in this entire series. I mean, everything is his fault.
Yes.
Yes.
He had one woman saved a group of people, and he spent the last 50, 60 years creating this intricate death plan that involved thousands of other people to get involved into the crossfires of this event. Like, there's so much collateral damage. He even fucked up on the first one. So the first Final Destination movie with the character Alex Browning, when he gets his premonition and saves those people on Flight 180, the second movie involves people who should have died because the people who didn't die on Flight 180 survived. They had this cascading effect of they would have affected other people's lives who should have died. So then it was extra cleanup for death.
That's overly convoluted.
It's just, it's bad planning.
Yes.
For death part, like, Final Destination is an actually well-written cinematography and screenplay when it comes to its storytelling. I mean, the way they use clues, hints, the details, the numbers involved, like the foreshadowing, like, it's very cleverly put together. Mm-hmm. And then you think about death's overall plan, you're like, death is kind of an idiot.
Yes. And I've mentioned it to Adrian because I was like, throughout the movies, we've seen that he can make intricate deaths for individual people.
Yeah, these Ruth Goldberg traps. Yeah.
But decides to go, hey, you know what? I'm going to see if I can try and do like multiples at once to like save me time.
Yeah.
It seems more like death is like starting with this movie is like, this might have been his first time doing something like really big
on this scale.
Yeah,
and this scale is like, you know, I'm gonna go really big. You know, I'm killing about 100 people at once. I want to get really creative with this one. I want to make the rivets pop out. I'm gonna make the glass break. I want to make sure this thing all goes off in exact order.
Seriously.
Then he screws like, ah, fuck. Now I gotta fix this up.
Like he.
Shit, they scattered. Oh crap.
Instead of going technical, he tried going creative, and it just wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much like, all right. After it's like, okay, I still got a chance, and they all left. Damn. All right.
No, it's like his idea is like, all right, I need to get this one person. So what happened if I knock this light bulb on the floor and it scatters, and then this one piece of shard glass hits this rope, and then the rope goes flying through because I need to kill this one person. That rope smacked this one big barbell, and the barbell comes by and almost hits him, but then it misses and it hits his fuel line and blows up a whole building. So I killed 15 other people. Like,
it's way too long.
So, and I think like he like Death's plan and this idea is like, I want to kill this one person and then I got like 20 something collateral damage. He's like, fuck.
Yes.
Well, now I need to clean up those meths now.
And it's like, you just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And he showed how simple he can do it.
Oh, yeah.
With the soccer ball.
No. It's more fucked up. So in Bloodlines, before the grandmother died, she explained like death has been going through the death order of all the people who should have died in that event back in 1969. So now it finally caught up to her.
Okay.
But explain like the last woman who died right before her, she died in her sleep with a gas leak. Like, why does she get such a peaceful way out? And then grandmother gets like a pull through the back of the head out through the mouth.
So she literally, that one old person.
Yeah.
Died the most peaceful way possible.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everyone else just gets a violent death.
Seriously.
It seems like when death just like.
He has just, favorites.
Not favorites, but I was like, just breaks a glass and fuck it, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. That's it. Like, just breaks a glass. Or he just like, in their sleep, just. I'm gonna smother you real fast.
It seems like something where it was like on the way that was like, I gotta kill this person, but I have to meet at like 1 a.m. Otherwise, like that one truck that's about to drive by won't hit. Also, gotta make it to like this destination at like 2 a.m. Otherwise, like this electrical pole won't go out. But I mean, she's on the way, so just kind of set that up. Come on over, knock the line,
yeah.
Keep on going so you can also, make it to the second.
Do you actually think it's possible that in this universe, there's actual, like, multiple Grim Reapers, but he just got one who's just...
Like, he has associates?
He's just...
No, like, he got the one... This is the fuck... This is the guy who's...
Yeah. So, it's like Bleach. It's a society of, you know, Grim Reapers, and then you had this one Grim Reaper who fucked up on this one event. So, this is his, like, 60 years of cleaning up his fuck up, making sure no other Grim Reaper finds out. But as he's trying to clean up, he's just fucking up even more.
Who's the one Grim Reaper in the Soul Society that's just fucking it up?
Yeah, you see...
Right.
But out of all the deaths in this, Adrian, which one did you find the most pleasing? What was like the most intricate for you?
I'm trying to think.
I'll say first, which one was the most gruesome? For me, it was still the garbage truck.
Okay, you guys showed me that one. That one was pretty
gruesome. Just seeing it bisected her from her lower jaw away from the rest of her head, like.
I guess I think the MIR machine.
The MRI one?
Yeah, I think that's
the one. Okay, you did show me that one.
Yeah, with the wheelchair going through
his back and like slowly breaking him. Like, yeah.
So I did find that funny. So you had the older brother from one side of the family, which you find out he actually isn't fully blood related to everyone who was involved. Yeah. His mom had an affair, so he had a different dad. So technically, he would have been safe.
Yes.
However, he was fucking with Death's design.
Yes.
And they specifically said in this movie, if you fuck with Death, Death will fuck with you back.
Yes. Now, also, nothing else I'll bring up too. This movie had the perfect amount of comedy in it.
It did. Actually, yeah. They know exactly. They know what this franchise is now.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking like, it's, you know, some horror movies, they try to cram in comedy where it just seems kind of awkward. It doesn't
fit. Yeah.
It's really awkward. It doesn't fit. Or the character's not that, you know, it doesn't work with like, certain characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, this one actually worked with the characters. Like, they were kind of self-aware. They were kind of like, you know, you had that, like, so the brother.
With the first sister that died. That was funny.
Yes.
Because she was all worried about that brother dying, so she's trying to protect him down the street. Like, watch out for the soccer ball. Watch out for this car. No, watch out for this. He's like, you're acting crazy. Like, what could possibly go wrong? She's like, I don't know. Like, those kids can kick the soccer ball and again. Hit you in the head and you go flying off and then a garbage truck comes by. Like, she's all saying some shit that's like off the wall. It sounds crazy. And they're like, you sound crazy. But then as they arguing, the sister comes out. She's like, I'm going to go for a jog. And then she's running off in the background and you see the event she talked about actually occurring in the background. Like, it was actually a good comedic bit right there.
I just want to know how hard did that kid kick that ball? To launch you.
She lost. She got flown right into that garbage bin.
And it was not like, we're not talking about a big kid neither. We're talking about like, this kid must have been like nine years old.
So how much force in that little leg did he project into that ball to make her fly into a trash bin?
To the next David Beckham.
That's right. A little messy. It's a little messy. That's what he
is. Like, fuck. Because at that point, anyone who's ever hit by a ball is just like, fucking... Little asshole.
And also how the mom died too, that was kind of funny too.
She died,
she got bisected by that pole, but right after she's like, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere, I'll stay alive as long as
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because she was basically talking about, like, their whole plan at this part is all the other family members have died. So now it's just the mom and then her two kids. Oh. Her brother and then his kids died already. So now it's just the last three people. So their plan was like, we're going to take our mom back to grandma's house that was fully death-proof, not death-proofed. And then we'll just have her stay there as long as possible until we can figure something out. Because as long as she doesn't die, we're safe. And that plan immediately fails the moment they showed up.
Because it was the most... Wasn't it like the most death-tuned place?
Yeah, there was like log spikes shooting out. There was like a whole giant fence that had barbed wires exposed electrical fencing, like drums of like fuel. Had fuel, like
giant pits of like still of still sitting water.
Yeah, it was the most unsafe place ever. Yes. But their idea is grandma stayed here for 20 years, so you know it'll be perfect for you.
Do you think that because the reason that grandma survived that entire time?
Yeah.
It's because she gave death too many options. So, like, he just couldn't think of, like, a creative way that was, like...
Not, well,
it's like when you have too many channels.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to watch. Mm-hmm. So, there's nothing to watch.
Well, they said... Well, like, Tony Todd's character, they said that he helped design the house. But he only helped design the inside of the house. You were not allowed to step out of the house.
Yeah.
That was the rule, was that you're not allowed to step out of the house itself.
So wait, what the hell? So do you mean she just paid for this property and then just never updated it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that I'm thinking about it, all right, so we established in the Final Destination series, if one person gets saved, it skips over to the next person. So if she kept avoiding death for 20 years, would it eventually still got her other family members? It just would have skipped over her?
No, we found out death is really like just... He is,
or is the skip role only occurring in that person family line?
I think he's picking and choosing what rules to apply, because apparently even though they made major rules, apparently there's only two rules that actually really work.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's Tony Todd said there's only two rules.
Yeah.
It's either, you know,
you have new life, which, you know, you have to die and then get resuscitated.
Yeah.
Or you kill someone and you steal their remaining life, which happened at the end of the fifth one.
Yes.
You found out the black character, Nathan, killed someone on an accident. And then you found that person only had like 2 weeks left to live.
Yeah. So he just bought 2 more weeks.
Yeah. Then that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, I mean, like I said, there are supposed to be a lot of rules, but it comes down to like, oh, it's only two rules apparently. Damn, I lost my thought process. Oh, yes.
He just picks and chooses his
own. Yeah, he picks and chooses because, like I said, the house itself from the outside is, a massive, massive death trap. I'm just talking about like...
a cornucopia of death.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The interior of the house, you think it would be, but I guess he said he helped design it because, I mean, they only show literally one little corner. They never show the entire house.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't tell exactly what...
So he just designed the living room?
Pretty much. I think that's what they meant.
He just interiorly designed?
I put the wallpaper up.
I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
Not flame retardant wallpaper.
Death proof.
Death proof.
Death hates lavenders.
That's why he's always outside that door.
Second,
he's like,
damn. Like I said, the second she opened that door, Death just got all excited.
Oh, yeah. So there was that scene. Oh, so the granddaughter didn't believe her grandmother. So she's like, I'm sorry. Like, I got to leave. She's like, no, you got to listen to me. She goes up to the door. The door's open. And you can see, you know, when Death shows up, the wind shows up. So the wind comes and it goes to extreme close up on her feet, back to her face, back to her feet, back to her face, and it's like Death is like, who, come on, she's gonna step out. Like, it was like overly excited.
Like, he's just like pacing back and forth, like, come on, let's go.
Get that pinky across the door.
Come on.
As well, remember that one, I just found it weird with that one shot where, like, the granddaughter sits down and something makes the motion of a magnifying glass turn sideways or a mirror turn sideways.
Oh, yeah.
And it causes the light to reflect into the pot of plant
that's hanging from a rope. So it's burning the rope. So it's supposed to show once it burns to the rope, the pot plant's going to hit the grandmother. But the grandmother sees the signs and she's like talking to Death like, oh, you fucker trying to get to me. Like, she throws like a shoe or like a chonkler or something over just like, just to hit.
He's like, all right.
the granddaughter goes like, who are you talking to? He goes, well, Death.
Stupid. Duh. Who do you think I'm talking about? Dumbass.
Also, I did enjoy how this movie ended. So, like the other films, the other Final Destination, you got no survivors. So, you have both the main characters, you know, Stephanie and Charlie at the very end. So, here's the thing. So, you had the Penny. And we talked about this. So, this Penny even has his own wiki page. This fucking Penny started it all. So, in the very beginning, the little shithead kid at the little sky tower was stealing pennies from the fountain, and then he throws a penny, gets sucked up into a vent, and then it caused a whole shitstorm. Mm-hmm. That penny gets saved over the decades, and then they drop it at the hospital after the two brothers die, and some old random woman picks up. She's like, oh, I got a penny. Cool.
Yeah.
The very end, this woman is getting like lemonade or something from a stand. She goes into a coin purse, and she drops that one penny. The penny rolls down for like 5 miles over to this like train track.
Yeah, it's like the Chef Boyardee can. Yeah.
Dude, exactly. Just like...
So then right when the tracks were going to shift for the train to move direction... This super strong Superman penny stops the shift of the tracks from shifting, so it keeps it stuck.
Does it shift? Does it lay like sideways?
Yeah,
like in between.
So basically, here's the track.
Like if you were to hold, like it was it like this or was it like that?
Like flat? Was it flat?
It was flat like this, so it somehow flipped and then lat like this, so it kept it closed.
Oh, okay. So it
flat, yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
So it wouldn't fully shift over. Derails an entire train into a neighborhood just to get the last two people.
Oh, no, it chases them.
It chases, yeah, yeah. And they survived the train at first, too, but those fucking logs at the end show up. The return of the logs. You got the return of the logs show up.
They were being chased like Thomas, dude. They're just running.
At first, I thought they were going to outrun that train.
Yeah, I mean, so like, holy shit.
And then I thought it's going to be something stupid, like, oh, that almost got us. And then all of a sudden, like, the bus comes by at the end. I thought how it's going to happen.
Yeah, the classic.
Mm-hmm. There was no classic bus there.
No. We got teased.
The fake out.
The fake outs. We got a couple fake outs.
Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I want to point out, too. So the first son, the older son that we found out was actually half brother, his whole tattoo shop. So they had it show up like when they were like, okay, the dad died at first, so now it's going to go down to his kids. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to warn them, but no one's listening to him. The older brother is in his tattoo shop closing up. And of course, you have Death doing his whole intricate death traps set up, you know, knock the bobblehead down, falls on the floor, rolls over, hits the candle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You find out because he's not even blood related, that whole event happened just to out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that wasn't even Death being involved into it.
That was just a random ass event.
That was a random ass circumstances of events that caused him to get burned in his own shop.
No, it was a huge fake out. Like the whole the way it was filmed is a huge fake out because, like they said, they show him going up there. The thing gets stuck in his nose. It's pulling him up. Mm-hmm. He's struggling. He's like, and his back's to the fire itself.
It's from the teaser trailer.
Yes,
from the first.
So he's on his back, you know, and all of a sudden it just cuts. That's it. And then the next day, the sister's calling, and we can't get hold of him. Oh my God, something happened.
They're told that his shop burned down, so they're trying to rush over to figure out what happened. And then they bump into him. They're like, what happened? He's like, oh yeah, no, you know, shop burned down. You know, I was lucky I was wearing my jacket. Like,
the fuck?
And he's like, oh no, what happened to your arm? Because remember he had a big ass bandage?
Oh yeah.
And he goes, oh no, I got branded. And it was like, it was this heart-shaped, I guess, medallion or something like that was in the fire. And it actually hit him in the arm. That's what hurt him.
So it was like this whole big fake out thing, and Death had this whole intricate design for him to fail. Found out like that whole event just happened on its own.
So really, as Death was passing the shop on his way for another intricate death to prepare for, he saw that and was just like...
Walk back through the window.
Yeah. Or like, I'm going to have to remember that one. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
Well done.
I need to try that next time. You think that was like a different Grim Reaper? Dude,
that right. That was another associate that's trying to like learn his place.
But yeah, I actually really did enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
It had exactly what I expected out of the franchise itself.
Yeah.
But it didn't do it. So it was the perfect amount of, you know, over the top, but without getting into that really cheesy route.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because like I said, I have my gripes about some previous films. that went just over the top for no reason.
You're talking about 4.
Yes.
Yeah. You're talking about when it went 3D.
Yeah,
when it went 3D. Oh, that's yeah, right. Yeah. That was pretty dumb.
And everything was like at the camera.
Yes. I that's the only movie I like don't like.
This one, though, I was hoping they would have gone back to more of the original roots of the first two using more real effects, physical effects. Rather than, because it still was quite a bit of CGI for this one.
Oh, like practical kind of
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they would
have had a more practical.
But I could see why. You know, unfortunately, you could see like what they were trying to envision.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see why.
I wish they had like practically set up a barbed wire to cut through somebody.
Yeah, like number two, that barbed wire scene with the fence. Like that was all practical, which was really cool.
Or the horse like dragging the person.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff like that.
So this one, like it said, like all the deaths were over the top. So of course you needed to use your CGI with that. But I did wish they had just a little bit more actual practical aspects. But at the end of the day, I can see exactly. It was pretty ambitious with some of those death scenes.
Yeah, especially that whole intro scene. There was no way that'll be practical.
Yeah, there was no way for that. Well,
the whole Seattle Sky Needle thing.
I mean, some of the deaths could actually have been real. Like the mom, when she got bisected, that could have been real.
You wanted a real person to get bisected? And we've
seen that. I mean, not physically real.
I just think it could have been done with a real person. You know, just who want
death? If Christopher Nolan could give me a real Cyclops.
Wait, do you think that's...
Do not let Christopher Nolan direct a Final Destination movie.
No, do you think... I thought that... I might have been just because of drinking. Was the scene, the garbage scene itself. Wasn't that a dummy?
No. So you can see the switch. So
oh yes,
when the actual truck was closing in on her face, you can see the digital switch.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed that on the clip that you showed me.
Yeah, like, you can see the masking around.
It's probably like about like here,
and then
you see the switch.
Yeah, you can see the switch. Okay. So it gets close, but it's still like you can see the switch over.
Yeah.
But like I said, like even when the mom got bisected, they've done stuff like that before. Practically, even the third one where the hull towards the end at the carnival where that thing fell on top of the
the cherry picker.
Yeah, the cherry picker fell on top of the guy. Like, that was practical.
They really killed him.
Yeah, for real.
They really killed that guy. They shot actual fireworks at him and missed. And by a happy accident, it hit the cherry picker. And a camera just happened to be set up in that time. And they just fucking killed him. It's in the movie.
It's all in the movie.
It's all in the movie. You think is the only one? That's fucked up. I don't know if we can put that one in.
Absolutely not.
We can't put that one in.
No, but seriously, like that's, I don't know. What do you guys would want more? So do you think they're going to continue this?
Of course, man. Money.
It's money.
I mean, true. The fourth one was supposed to be the last one. So
the final.
It was the final destination. The executive
came over and was like, put a hand on the back of that neck. Like, who the fuck said you could put the in it? Who said
this is over?
Who said this is over? I'll tell you when this is over.
Now give me number 5. Bro was like, make it a prequel.
Bro was like Bryant to like NWA. It's like, I'm taken care of. I'll let you know when you're done.
But like, how do you go from here? Because like this movie established like all the death that occurred was trying to keep up from that initial incident from 1969, with the last death going to be the coroner, Bloodsworth.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he is dying in the show, I mean, in the movie, and then he made his exit, the two siblings died. So now eventually he's going to be next. That means death finally completed its design.
Well, I mean, we've only watched, which is like five other groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to the thousands that are out there.
So they could, pick and choose anyone from that timeline and just find its own.
They could.
Yeah, yeah.
Which honestly, they could probably do an anthology series.
Yeah.
A TV series, a Netflix series, something like that.
Yeah.
A Final Destination series. Might look into that.
Honestly, another thousand ways to die.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, kind of like that, but you know, more Final Destination, more cinematic.
Okay.
But honestly, I'll tell you guys, I want to see one in the 1920s, 30s.
You want it beforehand, yeah.
I want an old factory that blew up and now there's survivors, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll be interesting. Like, I know you wanted to be like Predator series, like you have every movie in a different timeline.
Yeah, I want to see different timelines because, like, so we are obviously from the 2000s up. Well, let's just, what did death do, you know, 100 years prior?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you can't do that, if you want to keep it as what happened at that 1969 event was the starting point. You still have from the 70s till now.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right.
So you still can pick and choose between any date and then make your own movie about some person who was related to that event having their own Final Destination situation.
Yeah, you could take out the first, call Final Destination the first, or the beginnings, where you take out the exact first family out.
Yo, okay, I got an idea. Check this out. Final Destination during the Cold War. The whole Armageddon of atomic nukes launching from Russia versus USA was supposed to happen, but the JFK administration stopped it. Therefore, every person in that JFK administration somehow is assassinated. That would explain why JFK got assassinated.
I was going to say, like, if you prevent a nuclear war, wouldn't that just cost a death game of like hundreds of thousand people who should have died that you saved?
So that means it does it all. That's when it does a jump into the future where now it goes into Y2K. Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
Because you stopped the Cold War from nuclear apocalypse, Y2K happened.
Yes. Or jumps even further, that it's all happening again and Armageddon is about to happen. And the Cold War is about to actually come true, and nuclear arsenals are about to be launched, and the whole world's going to die. But somebody stopped it. And then a cataclysmic event has to happen in order for that cataclysmic event to be fulfilled. And that's when you have the random asteroid come in.
Or we could do one based like in the early 1800s or 1900s, where it's in England. Some big-ass event. It ends with the movie, one person surviving, getting on the Titanic.
Or even better, like one. You have like one, like an old timey one like that. And it's like, yes, they go through this whole event. They finally survive. He's like, yes, let's go on this picnic. They're going on a walk and all of a sudden the Hindenburg comes down on them.
or a tragic event of some sort where they were supposed to be killed by the plague, but ended up surviving in the streets of London.
Yeah.
Right. Only to find out that they're in Whitechapel. And each one gets killed off by Jack the Ripper. See, let's start getting wild with it.
Dude, we could get crazy.
Why not?
Dude, we can start writing these. We can start writing these.
Go fast and furious with it. Fuck it, you know?
They're in space.
We need to tie in Armageddon. We need to tie in the movie Armageddon somehow. That's the final end game.
Armageddon or Deep Impact.
Well, I don't know, because Deep Impact happened.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's a good point. It happened.
Or it's supposed to happen. And then you bring in Armageddon.
Can you imagine you just re-edit Deep Impact and all of a sudden at the very end, the camera sucks back into Elijah Wood's eye and it comes back out as a premonition?
Honestly, if you kind of think about it, the end of Twilight is kind of like Final Destination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like absolutely.
That whole battle and then the premonition coming back into the eye. Like, fuck you.
At the end of Twilight, all of a sudden, let's go to Paris and you see a sign come up behind her. She cheated death's game.
See? So many options.
Dude, there is actually quite a bit of options.
Let's get creative with it.
I fuck with this exactly how I kind of fuck with Saw. Like,
yeah.
Just it could be anything, any storyline. As long as you have the good deaths, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. And just to let you know as well, it is at 100, it's sitting at $116 million.
Oh, I thought you were going to say percent. I was like, wow.
Yeah, no. So right now, Rotten Tomatoes, you got 92% critics, 89% audience members. So people are really enjoying this. And like I said, it was already $116 million opening. This came out on the 16th. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it hasn't been that long it's been out. So it's making a lot of money. Nice. It's doing pretty good. So this I can see becoming successful, and I can see a lot more coming after this. This is a franchisable series, man. You can have Final Destination 10, 20, 35, Bloodlines, Origins, New Beginnings, Electric Boogaloo. Like, it could be anything. Electric
Boogaloo. During the heroin epidemic.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, actually, Mike, when you get the chance, I definitely say watch this one. It's actually pretty. You would enjoy these. This is actually pretty entertaining.
I'll have to watch it with Ash because I told her about tonight's episode.
Oh, yeah. She wants to see it, doesn't she?
And
yeah.
As well as one, you know, final thing as well is, what's one thing actually, what honestly I love about the film, but it's what I really liked about it was Tony Todd was, this was his final role.
This was his final film. Right. And I liked his eulogy that he kind of gave to the audience members.
His goodbye.
His goodbye and all the whole thing about enjoying life. Like, it was a nice send off for the character.
Oh yeah, it was absolutely like, because what it supposedly rumored is that he actually improvised the entire, his entire line.
True that. We do have a clip of that before we fully close out. Just the lines he said towards the end of the movie.
Let's do it.
I intend to enjoy the time I have left. And I suggest you do the same. Life is precious. Enjoy every single second. You never know when.
See, I really like that. Damn. And it was really sweet and very sad at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can see the difference what he really did look like towards the end of this. And it was kind of hard to watch in that sense.
It was hard to watch, but I mean, it was like, since it's one of those things like, this rarely happens mm-hmm. where you have someone who, an actor who actually loved what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He actually loved the franchise. He loved the work he put into it.
And they get like an honorable send off like that.
Yes. For him to say, I'm pretty much goodbye to everyone and, enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one really gets that opportunity, and not that you should, but
it was nice. It was really nice. So I really did appreciate that. It was a really nice last film for him.
Yeah.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about Final Destination Bloodlines? Do you love it? Do you hate it? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like or watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And, of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as mentioned, all the different ways you can listen to us, including heading over to our YouTube channel. We actually just got it, a new one up and running. Kind of starting over, getting fresh, getting those views up and listeners. And so come on, go and head on over there to youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast so that way you can keep up with these episodes, snippets of clips, as well as little memes that we kind of post up with our shorts. And of course, the Patreon account that's linked in there as well, so that you can be able to subscribe to some of the additional content that we don't show quite all the way on YouTube. Some unsaid things, or rather things that were cut out for reasons. So if you want to be able to head on over there, watch the unedited version of these episodes, head on and subscribe to our Patreon account. We'd greatly appreciate it, because more subscribers equals more content. Of course, subscribe to YouTube. Comment down below what you think we should be able to cover next, or what you liked about this episode. Share with a friend. And of course, all the ways you can listen to us, as mentioned before, but kind of reiterating, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Look for the screaming microphones on all platforms. That way you can be able to listen to us on the go, whether you're on the way to work, whether you're in the gym, or want to recommend it to a friend who's interested in the industry or is already in it. That we greatly appreciate that. And leave those 5-star reviews, and we'd like to make some more for you guys.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.